Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. One tradition that seems to be almost as old as town meeting itself is questioning town meeting day's relevance as times change and towns evolve. But it's more than just hand-wringing. Times do change. And it's okay to question where and whether and how to conduct some of the most relevant political and civic business people face, the things that happen to them on a very local scale. The number of towns holding a floor meeting as the exclusive way they vote on town business has continued to decline over the years. But small communities in particular still find ways to try to engage their citizens, holding meetings at different times, offering childcare, splitting some business into Australian ballot, and others voted from the floor. Today on Vermont Edition, we're going to talk about how things have changed over the last few decades and this question of how democratic town meeting really is. We thought about having this conversation tomorrow on the show, but we figured that those of you who are at a Tuesday town meeting might miss out. So we're doing it today. I'm joined now by Jackson Evans. He's the town meeting moderator in Braintree. He also serves on the town's planning commission and is a chair of the town's board of listers. He grew up attending town meetings as a child in Northfield. Jackson, it's a pleasure to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Jane. Great to be here.
Glad we had you here today and not tomorrow.
Yeah, be busier.
Yeah. We're also joined by Susan Small here, a reporter for the Rutland Herald, where she's covered town meetings in 46 Vermont towns in Windsor and Windham counties. Throughout her career as a reporter, she has covered town meetings in Vermont and New Hampshire, and she's been doing that for more than 40 years. Susan, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today as well.
Thank you very much, Jane.
Jackson, I'd love to start with you. Can you just describe your experience, your biography with town meeting?
Sure. I kind of came to it by accident in a lot of ways. My wife and I moved to Braintree about 7 years ago, and I started to get involved with town government as a lister. And the gentleman who was the chair of the board of listers at the time was also the town moderator. And at some point, he decided he was ready to move on from being the moderator and asked if I would be interested in being nominated, and went from there. So I kind of fell into it, and it's been great.
What about when you were a kid? Was town meeting something that you actually remember having family members participate in? I mean, is it actually something that's been a part of your life for a while?
Absolutely. As long as I can remember. Growing up in Northfield, my parents are both very civically engaged individuals. My father was a teacher and a principal at Northfield High School for a number of years, so was involved in things at that level. And I remember going to town meeting as a kid. Thankfully, Northfield thought ahead and had a group of high school kids who would kind of watch the younger kids in the home ec room and put on movies. But there were moments where you could kind of glimpse into the auditorium or the high school or the gym, wherever it was being held. And it was kind of mystifying. It seemed very important and serious and vital, and everyone was really engaged. So I think that those are some of my earliest memories of town meeting.
In my town, we've now switched to a Saturday town meeting, but when it was still on Tuesdays, it is still in the school gym, and so classrooms would come through during town meeting to see what was happening, and so all of these small children would parade in and sort of stand there looking like, what am I supposed to do now? And, you know, all the adults would sort of smile and look at them, and then they'd parade back out. But it was a way for kids to at least see what was happening in their gym on town meeting day.
Yeah, get that introduction.
Susan, what about for you? You've been doing this for more than 40 years professionally, covering town meetings. Is it still fun?
Yes and no, I have to confess. I went to Tynemouth town meeting on Saturday, and it was the first time I'd been in Tynemouth. And it was a really lovely town meeting, a lot of community goodwill, a lot of discussion about the issues, and ultimately no disagreements.
Ooh, so that's less interesting, I suppose, from a reporter's perspective.
Oh, of course, of course. We're always looking for the disagreements.
Susan, do you feel like you get to know a town a little bit when you go? I mean, you said you've never been to Tynemouth. I have found going to town meetings is an interesting way to learn about what's happening in a community, where the tension points are, where the points of agreement are. And did you find that in Tynemouth?
In Tynemouth, I mean, the whole sort of discussion unfolded, and the biggest point of contention really, I think, was over the Rutland Free Library. Was Tynemouth going to send, I think it was $2,700 to the Rutland Free Library to help support its operation. And in return, Tynmouth residents get free usage of the library. And one woman questioned spending all this money, $2,700, which is a lot of money for Tynmouth. And then there was this cascade of people saying what a wonderful library it was and what a great value it was for Tynmouth and all the different things they'd been able to do at the library and how much knowledge and what a wonderful thing. And then the woman backed off and said, oh, I guess I'll get my library card. So it was sweet.
Listeners, again, I'd love to for you to share your thoughts on Town Meeting Day. We're talking about its relevance, which I know is often discussed, but it's worth keeping up on because people do come up with different ways and towns are often changing how they do things, sometimes changing back. We've had towns that have gone to Australian ballot and then back to floor meetings. We have towns that just go to Australian ballot. We have some communities that don't have town meetings at all and all do Australian ballot. And there's some evidence that the smaller a community is, the more likely a floor meeting is going to work. Ray says Town Meeting Day is a part of our civic life. It has a long tradition that allows for people to gather and debate matters important to the town and beyond. There's also the social element where groups raise money and people get to mingle with people they may not see during the year. Changing times and schedules make continuing this tradition and method of self-governing a challenge to continue, but if we allow it to fall by the wayside, then we will lose something very special. Jackson, do you agree?
I definitely agree. I think Town Meeting Day is a chance for residents and voters to look at local issues in a very detailed way. There's so much emphasis on national politics and state politics, but there's really not a lot of opportunity, especially in small towns, for people to get together and talk about things that will affect them on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's vital, and it's not done enough. Maybe we need to have two town meetings a year. Maybe.
You know, I have found in my town, is Moncton, I didn't get to go to our meeting on Saturday because although we did have childcare, I had sick children, and I wasn't going to inflict that on the young people caring for other people's children. But it is still a time where I run into townspeople that I don't see on a regular basis, and it's kind of a nice way to mingle at the end of winter. On the other hand, we know that not very many people go to town meeting, and even people who do go to town meeting are not always speaking up. So how do you see that idea of civic engagement if it really is a small number of voices who are making those decisions for the town, Jackson?
Yeah, that's definitely a concern. Braintree has 890 registered voters, and our average turnout at town meeting is 75 to 100 people. So it's a small group of people making decisions for the rest of the town. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't know how to get more people involved. You know, for my wife and I, we made a commitment to making sure that we're able to get to town meeting. And I know small business owners who have decided they're going to give their employees the day off. You know, there are models for how to encourage people to go, to get that time to go. But you really have to make it a commitment and determine that maybe you don't take an extra vacation day. Maybe you decide you're going to spend it being civically engaged, if that's important to you. I mean, maybe it's not.
Or maybe you say there are people who are civically engaged and I trust them to make good decisions for my town.
Exactly. Maybe that's how you look at it.
We've gotten some notes from people who would really like to see it be more of a day that they could participate in or that there'd be more incentive, more ability. House Crow says some people don't get paid if they don't get work, so requiring them to take time off to go to work to vote is essentially a poll tax. We got a note from, Anne in Underhill, who says, I've always wondered why Town Meeting Day is not a state holiday. I know some people would use it for a ski day, but I also know people who would go to their meetings if they didn't have to work. If our leaders think it's an important event, this would be one way of making a clear statement about it. Susan, you must have covered, I mean, there have been pushes to make this a state holiday for decades. Do you see that argument for making it more of a day that people could participate in?
Well, one of the biggest changes I've seen is this switch to meetings on Saturday. In Windsor County, there are a lot of towns that meet on Saturday, Wethersfield, Woodstock, Reading, Hartford, and those meetings really are what I would call a quintessential discussion. They have the time and they really air out the issues. Intent not to go back to Tynmouth, but the town clerk there told me that they had originally had their town meeting on Tuesday afternoons, sort of the traditional floor meeting, and people complained that, you know, they'd have to take a day off from work, and so they switched it to Saturday. And but they didn't really have a great turnout, so they switched it back to Tuesday, and then they switched it back to Saturday again. I think each town has to find their own comfort level for when people are willing and able to come to town meeting.
Do you see towns where town meeting feels more successful than others, and is there a formula that you think works, or is it really dependent on the town's culture, Susan?
I think there are definitely towns that have a much bigger turnout, much bigger interest. I don't know what the secret is. There are towns where, you know, people come in and there's a minimum of discussion and people leave. One town that I used to cover was Westminster. They have a Saturday town meeting, and it's an all-day affair, and it starts at 10 o'clock, and it goes until even 5 o'clock. And they're, you know, they have a volunteer lunch in the community. There's a big turnout, and the community is there for the day to discuss the issues that are really of prime concern in Westminster.
So are they doing it the traditional way of having a town meeting and the school meeting, and it really is all day and everything is voted from the floor?
They discuss everything from the floor, but they decide things also on Tuesday. So it's, you know, every town has worked out this rather unique pattern of when they vote, when they discuss. I mean, I'd say, you know, Tynmouth decided all its budgets on Saturday afternoon. A lot of towns discuss and don't make a decision on Saturday afternoons. Same thing with Monday meetings.
How does it work in Braintree?
We are an all-floor meeting. We don't have any Australian ballot unless it's, there's a bigger election at hand. Last year was the first year that we didn't have a school meeting because our school merged with Brookfield and Randolph. So that was a big change. But it's all done from the floor. And one of the – we're talking about moving to Saturday. That's one of the items on our warning this year is a vote to move to Saturday. So we're hopeful that it will attract more people. But there will be a lot of discussion, I anticipate, on that question.
So you're supportive of a move to Saturday?
As a moderator, I don't have a vote.
Right, you're not allowed to have.
I don't have a vote. I honestly don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I like the tradition of Tuesday. If it means more people can come, then I guess I would be all for it. But I don't know. I've heard different stories, hearing Susan say that there are some towns that found nobody came on Saturday, moved back to Tuesday. You know, it could go either way.
Well, I mean, similarly, again, in my town, there has been talk in the past of needing childcare. And then I don't know how it turned out on Saturday, but leading up into the days before a town meeting, they were saying, nobody signed up for childcare. I thought you wanted childcare. So, you know, that idea of what people actually want versus then what they will do when they're given that chance.
Right. And in Braintree, we've had surveys. We've done surveys at past town meetings asking if people would come on Saturday. But it's the people who are showing up at town meeting who were questioning. So it's hard to know, would people take advantage of childcare if that was available?
Is it hard for you? I think this is, what, your second year now as moderator?
This will be, if I am lucky enough to be elected at town meeting, I will be the moderator for this meeting. But currently, yes, this will be my second town meeting.
So is it difficult for you? You already said this is a priority for you and your wife. This is a priority for your family. And now, as moderator, you're not allowed to have an opinion. You know, you have to stand up there and follow Robert's rules, and you don't get to have a say in the same way. Is that hard for you?
It is, but I like the idea of a moderator. I like the moderator's job of helping the people do the business they've come to conduct is really vital. And I think that's how I can contribute, you know, at this point to the town. Is filling that role of helping the meeting move smoothly, helping articles come up, helping people understand how to work Robert's rules. I mean, all that.
That's tough. Yeah, Susan, have you seen, I mean, I still get confused sometimes about Robert's rules, and this is something occasionally moderators get confused about Robert's rules. I mean, that is a sort of a barrier to entry sometimes for people to understand how town meeting even works.
And every moderator has his little friend in the audience that wants to challenge on occasion. I've certainly been at meetings where the moderator was challenged on very small points, and it was all in good humor. But there are definitely people who are real students of Robert's rules and hold their moderator to a high standard.
Jackson, do you have visions of being like a Jim Douglas or, you know, those town moderators who are known for, you know, decades of being town moderator?
I don't know.
Delusions of grandeur?
No, I don't think I do. I mean, as long as I'm enjoying it and people are happy with the job I'm doing, I'm happy to keep doing it. But if I'm a Jim Douglas, I don't know. That's a long stretch. That's quite a tenure.
That is. Rod says, it's been 11 years since I moved away from Vermont. Since then, I have lived across the U.S. At each stop, I've shared with pride about the Vermont tradition of town meeting, which I observed for 9 years as superintendent of North Country Supervisory Union. The frank discussions and strong support for education, especially the local elementary schools, were a source of inspiration. Not only should Vermonters hold on to the tradition, it should be shared with other states. Alpha says, town meeting is a good way to meet our neighbors and discuss town affairs. However, to vote and have a say in town business, a citizen must attend the meeting. That borders on voter suppression. Today, it's not realistic to expect all town residents to attend. Australian ballot gives everyone an opportunity to vote at some time during the day. Our town increased voter participation by almost 25% when we went to Australian ballot. Everyone who wants to vote should have that opportunity, even if they can't take the day off. And Seth says, towns all over New England have annual and special town meetings with much less hullabaloo than we bring to it in Vermont. In the other states, it's not every town on the same day statewide. The towns choose their own dates, and it's more of a season than a holiday. And Paddler 66 says, town meetings will always be relevant. The criticism that town meetings aren't as democratic as they could be is not a knock on the town meeting format, but on the participation of citizens. Democracy is about participation in governance, not the form that it takes. Let's go to Heidi, calling in from Salisbury. Hi, Heidi. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling from Salisbury, and we just had our town meeting on Saturday. It was moved 2 years ago. Our town meeting, there's nothing voted from the floor anymore. The school meeting is gone, and we vote the town issues by Australian ballot. So we are struggling to hold on to town meeting by kind of making it an informational community time. So we have various town committees and organizations, Conservation Commission, Fire Department, Historical Society. They all have displays. The Girl Scouts were there with their cookies, and then try to make sure that the discussion is as informational as possible. I really think town meeting is critical in building community, and if we lose it, we've lost something very unique and valuable to Vermont and to New England.
Heidi, you say it's very valuable, but also that you're struggling in Salisbury to hold on to it and to keep it relevant. So do you think that not enough people agree with you, or is there some other barrier?
No, well, that's another whole discussion. I really feel like our political system is at odds with our economic system. The economic system tries to make things convenient and comfortable and easy, and our political system and the economic system really focuses on the individual, and the political system, our democracy, asks for us to think beyond our own interest to the common good, and it's not necessarily always comfortable or easy. And I mean, you know, you have to take a day off. I really would like to have a town meeting holiday. It seems like we could contribute one day a year towards self-government. But I just think people expect things to be provided for them, and it should be easy and comfortable. And, you know, town meeting, taking the day off, getting up to say something, sometimes is not what people would call easy. But it's critical to building community and maintaining the social fabric of a community, I feel. A community is built by making meaningful decisions together and having meaningful conversations. Otherwise, a community is just a bunch of people that live in the same place, but they're not really a community.
Boy, Heidi, I can tell you've thought about this. What an articulate way of putting it, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and the experience in Salisbury. I really appreciate that. And now from Braintree, from Jacksonstown, is Sylvia. Hi, Sylvia. Go right ahead.
Hello. Hello, Jackson.
Hi, Sylvia.
You mentioned that you became interested in town meetings as a child because your family was involved, and this led me to believe that perhaps we could somehow coordinate with the school district and have an opportunity for some students, in high school at least, to attend town meeting. Some of them might not have had an opportunity before to know how important this is to our town government, but also to a better understanding of our state and national democracy, and perhaps gain an interest in taking part in those as well.
Sylvia, thanks for your note. Jackson, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you, Sylvia. I think one of the roles that I see as a moderator having throughout the course of the year is thinking of ways to encourage people to attend town meeting. And, you know, ideas like that of bringing in there's been suggestions to bring in first-time voters in the community to have them, you know, young adults who've registered to vote for the first time come to town meeting and participate, or have them take part in part of the earlier part of the meeting, maybe reading some kind of invocation or something like that to engage younger people in the process. I think those are great ideas, and that's a role that a moderator can have outside of town meeting, is to building ways to get people to attend.
Susan, am I remembering this correctly, that in some towns they allow young people who are not quite 18 to vote in town meeting, and some towns also allow non-citizens of the United States to participate in town affairs, especially when it's a voice vote? I've also been in town meetings where if you're not a resident of the town, you have to actually wear a sticker that says, I'm not a resident of the town, and you're not allowed to raise your hand or vote. But there are exceptions in the ways that towns decide who can vote and who can't vote, right?
Some town meetings I've been at, they definitely, you know, people who aren't registered voters, they appeal to the moderator and the moderator makes that decision. Usually it's, you know, a school superintendent who doesn't live in it, you know, every town in the district, so he has to get permission from the moderator to speak. I've never seen a young person who isn't a registered voter asked to speak, to tell you the truth. But as a reporter, I've certainly worn my share of orange stickers.
David Plazek is an associate professor of political science at Northern Vermont University Johnson, formerly Johnson State College. And he's part of a team of researchers, including students and professors at UVM and Castleton University, who are collecting data on participation and engagement at more than 20 town meetings across Vermont this year. I should mention that NVU is an underwriter of VPR. David Plazek, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jane. Pleasure to be here.
Why are you and students and other people at these universities fanning out to collect data? Why do you care?
Well, the act of science is to gather data to assess reality and to decipher what is true in terms of political science in the nature of politics, which, of course, Vermont provides an outstanding opportunity to look at this form of direct democracy.
You know, we talk about and have heard even from listeners today that some people feel disenfranchised by this direct democracy because they can't participate in a Tuesday meeting. Do we have any sense of how much more participation there is in communities that go either exclusively or at least partly to Australian ballot? Or is this idea of democracy and my ability to participate in some ways a little bit of a red herring because people don't always participate either way?
Well, one thing we've discovered from the data is the democraticness drops off significantly at roughly 2,500 and above. That's why our
community population. Uh-huh.
Yes, and that's why we're focusing on smaller towns, which. Are going to focus more on providing opportunities for people to participate. Once you get to towns the size of Burlington, it's the benefits that you could possibly accrue from this form of democracy simply aren't in place. So certainly population size is one big factor in terms of democraticness of the process.
So when you talk about democraticness of the process, and this is what students and those of you who are going out to town meetings are in trying to gauge, how do you quantify and qualify democraticness?
Well, we do both. For numbers, quantitatively, we're going to look at town size and estimate turnout. And then we also monitor who speaks and how frequently. Just looking at that sort of measure, it becomes clear why a town of 30, 35,000, it's going to have a low measure quantitatively. But smaller towns, that can participation can be obviously much more significant, in spite of the problem of it being during the week and not a holiday, which is an issue that was brought up earlier in the show.
So what do you think your students get out of this when they go out and do this work and observe town meetings and maybe talk to participants about why they're speaking or not speaking? What's the value to students?
This is a fantastic opportunity to do field research, to learn, to learn the methods that we apply in order to gather good, consistent data across towns. So when this opportunity opened itself up, I was absolutely excited for what our students could learn methodologically about data gathering.
And your team is going to be covering towns in the Northeast Kingdom. Do you think there's anything that differentiates any K meetings from other parts of the state?
Oh, out in the hinterland, eh? potentially. Of course, our state has its blue and red and purplish areas, and this will be a more purplish, reddish area, which political culture, which was also brought up before, can be a factor in various towns in terms of turnout, participation, length of meeting, women's participation, and so forth.
Hmm. Well, I'm interested to hear what your teams and the teams at Castleton at UVM come up with, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today, David.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here.
David Plazek is an associate professor of political science at Northern Vermont University, Johnson. And as I said, he and teams from UVM and Castleton University are fanning out and collecting data on participation and engagement at more than 20 town meetings across Vermont this year. Jackson, is there anything big on the agenda in Braintree other than, you know, whether or not to get a new fire truck or whether or not to pass the town budget or the school budget?
I think there are two things that are kind of bigger changes. One is, as I mentioned, moving the meeting to Saturday, which I would anticipate having a lot of discussion. And the other is changing our practice of hand-delivering town reports to each residence in town and instead having the reports available at certain locations for pickup. Those are two changes from tradition. So I would anticipate in our town that those will be hot topics.
What's the motivation for not hand delivering the town warning and the town or the agenda?
The town report. It's every year. It's a logistical issue of getting either select board members or other people who are involved in town work to volunteer their time to drive certain routes. I mean, we have maybe 3 or 4 miles of paved roads and the rest is dirt. And so getting around this time of year is hard anyway.
And you don't mail it because of the cost.
Right, because of the cost. So that'll be an interesting one. I don't know how that one will turn out, but...
Susan, over the 40-plus years that you've been doing this, have you seen a shift in what kinds of conversations happen at town meeting beyond the basic financial decisions that have to be made year over year, the other things that get discussed?
Well, certainly there's been a lot of what some people say are extracurricular issues. But in 1982, I'd only been a reporter a couple of years, there was a big vote on the nuclear weapons freeze. And I think it was 170 towns, you know, across the state voted in favor of this national issue on nuclear weapons and asking President Reagan to open up a discussion with his Soviet counterpart. And since then, there have been repeated national or even international issues come up. I've covered lots of referendum in Windham County having to do with Vermont Yankee. And so it sort of goes in waves. Sometimes there's a lot of these more big picture questions. And this year, I think it's pretty routine or regular Vermont basic information.
Although at least one community is voting on, a non-binding resolution saying there needs to be movement on gun regulation and gun control. So it sounds like some communities are having these same sort of philosophical votes.
Yeah. Yes, I don't cover any towns. The biggest issue that I probably will be covering is in Pittsford, where they're talking about joining the local mosquito district.
Why is that an issue? What are the relevant points of conversation on that?
Well, Pittsford is on the edge of the Brandon-Lester mosquito district, and it's never joined. It's always just sort of hired the district to do some spraying on the lowlands along the Otter Creek. And this year, the town manager told me that there's real concern about the increase in mosquitoes. Hmm.
Do you ever, Susan, wish that you could go to your town meeting? I don't know what community you live in, but when my town voted on Tuesdays and had the floor meeting on Tuesdays, it always bummed me out that I couldn't go.
Yes, it's very frustrating, especially since you cover these meetings and then you can't cover the town meeting. I live in Rockingham, and in the 40 years I've been a reporter, I think I've covered or attended Rockingham's town meeting once. So it's very frustrating.
I have to say, I go, but I don't raise my hand. I don't speak, and
yes.
I don't even make a voice vote. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, no, you can't participate. You can only watch.
Yeah, but it's fascinating to watch.
Or, I mean, I've been at the Rockingham town meeting where I certainly didn't participate, and I didn't do a public vote, and I even felt uncomfortable doing a paper ballot, but such is life.
Yes, that's the responsibility and, the sort of thing that you have to do as a reporter. You get the responsibility of covering these things, and you don't really get to make your own voice vote. Jackson, what's your argument for, town meeting, tradition, civic engagement? Give us your elevator pitch here.
I think for small towns like Braintree, town meeting is a good fit, because I think one thing we've heard today throughout this conversation is that every town is different and every town has unique issues which it's facing. And town meeting is a great chance to get as many people as you can into a room to talk about these relevant hyper-local issues that you otherwise wouldn't have a chance to do.
That's Jackson Evans. He's town meeting moderator in Braintree, hoping to be town meeting moderator again tomorrow. And he serves on the town's planning commission and is chair of the town's board of listers. Jackson, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Susan Small here is a reporter for the Rutland Herald. She has covered town meetings in Vermont and New Hampshire for more than 40 years. Susan, thanks for sharing your experience with us today.
Certainly, Jane.